T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What's that?
That's another pandering politician saying that if you have to play games in our state, we have a law that says you have to quarantine for 14 days. We're waiving that for pro sports teams.
Why?
Why? Because
it's the only way they'll come.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
say whatever you want to say about Florida or Texas or California or Arizona. The most deaths in the country are still in that New York, New Jersey area.
By the way, does that apply to anybody besides the football teams?
It says professional sports. So
no, but I'm saying,
it also means baseball.
But who's there? I'm saying logistically.
The hockey teams would be in a bubble. So
this is really just for
it's really
the Giants
about football.
And Jets.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe there is no minor league baseball going on, so it wouldn't affect
right. A
minor league baseball team.
Well, Miami.
And
sorry,
that
was uncalled for.
It may end up applying to less important sports, but if they did this, I guarantee it's for the majors, which means it's really just football because the Nets are gone. Everybody is in a bubble in hockey, you know. So it's either pandering to politicians. You know, it's a politician who's either pandering to other politicians or it's a politician who recognizes that NFL money and wants to make sure he stays on the right side of it.
Big news today is that Buster Posey has opted out of the coming 2020 season. Look, what is the point of being Rookie of the Year, 6-time All-Star with 3 rings, an MVP, a batting title, about $150 million in career earnings if you can't kick up your feet and enjoy your spoils when you think that that is the safest thing you can do for your family? We all wish we had Buster Posey's situation. We all wish that we could just do, you know, hey, I'm going to punt. How about you? If you could go head first into 2020 or punt, what are you going to do if you had the means to make that choice? Is a single person running straight on into 2020? Only the dumbest among us would choose to do that, knowing what the world looks like right now. Of course, you would take it easy and you would enjoy the FU money in this situation.
I wish we could have onside kicked it right to 2021.
No onside kicks, right? Or no, they're trying to do it.
They're just different.
Yeah, okay,
no,
different.
It's just they're harder now. Yeah.
I don't like that.
Because who wanted fun?
Do you want to get this team a chance to get back into a football game? No. So Buster Posey has made a choice. He did it family-based, and I think we are all total agreement. Good for him. What his family is doing, adopting identical twins who are spending time in a neonatal intensive care unit. It's really, really something else. Wish Buster, his wife, his kids the very, very best. And look, without being cruel, Buster Posey is not who he used to be. Replacing Buster Posey in 2020 is not replacing Buster Posey in 2014. Buster Posey had a rough year last year. Buster Posey was 7 home runs, about 30 RBI, forgettable at bat after forgettable at bat. And what the Giants have to replace is a lot more theoretical than it is physical duplication of numbers that are going to be hard to replace. These are not hard to replace numbers. He's an incredibly hard to replace presence.
That, see, that's the point here. It's focusing on the baseball stuff is, you know, yeah, if you want to, fine. But the solution to that is simple. You just pretend, well, he's out for the year. The real issue here is the fact that the Giants, to their credit, have done what they have done before. And they basically, they're not going to raise any kind of objection. And they will probably lionize him all the more because ultimately what his skill set is maybe secondary to the fact that when he decides next year to return to the game, which I presume he's going to do if there is a game, and after all, why would the Giants put out a 2021 schedule if they weren't sure they were going to play? Buster Posey becomes the Joey Bart mentor.
Totally.
I mean, so him, you know, the race to say, look, God, he's past it. No, he's actually going to provide as significant a service as he eases toward retirement as he did when he was playing 130 games. You don't have to be on the field every day to provide a very useful service if, in fact, the Giants are as committed to Bart as they seem to be. So there's no reason to say, gee, he's past it. No, his brain is better than ever. And that's going to be the most important thing about his career from here on out.
Well, that's true as long as he's willing to be that guy. And I assume he will be. My guess is he'd rather finish here playing less than somewhere else playing more. But it does remain to be seen whether Buster Posey wants to be the guy that slowly watches his playing time fade away while he helps out his replacement.
Unless he becomes the first baseman. And sort of they go back and forth. I mean, there are a lot of ways to do this.
Why I think it's so important to get Bart in there this year and see what he has so you know what you want to do vis-a-vis him and Buster Posey next year.
I think they can figure that out next year. I mean, as long as Posey doesn't say, I'm not working with that guy, he's trying to take my job, and I think we all agree that's not who Posey is, unless he has a starting job waiting on some other team, and I doubt that that's the reality, I think he's going to be here, and he's going to be the kind of servant to the club that he's being right now to his family.
Buster Posey sound I want to play for you right here. This is Posey talking about what he will miss and that he will indeed be ready come 2021.
Look, there's no question, especially once games start up, this is going to be hard for me. So I have had a little bit of time to think about that. And honestly, as a baseball player, we're kind of, I'm not sure if all professional athletes are wired the same way or not, but there's such a satisfaction in going out and trying to accomplish something with a group of guys that become your friends over the course of a year or multiple years. And whether that, you know, that goal is reached or not, by the end of it, there's satisfaction in knowing that you really put everything into it. And I think I'm going to miss that the most is not having that challenge of overcoming hurdles and obstacles and being able to celebrate the good times and being able to share some of the down times. But I'm definitely, you know, hopeful and know I'll keep my body in shape and be ready to go next year.
I mean, that's how crazy this situation is. He's got people closing bathroom doors on a Zoom meeting, it sounds like, and that's what's going on there. 888-957-9570 is the number. My computer just crashed. Who do we have on hold right now? Let's bring him in. Mike in Vallejo is back. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, Damon, my apologies for earlier, first of all.
Forget it.
So I called a few weeks back, and I was like, man, I'm tired of all these athletes complaining about the bubble and, you know, just take the opt-out option and everything. I get that there's a lot of money involved, and that's why these leagues are trying to push for the leagues to start back up or to get started. Honestly, I'm of the mindset that maybe we should wait until there's either a vaccine or like a herd immunity. But being a father of a premature baby myself, my son was in the NICU for 53 days. I don't have FU money like you put it. So I unfortunately had to keep working. His mother stayed with him. But I would have done the same thing. So my hat's off to Posey for that. A lot of these guys complaining about other things, like, oh, the food, or, oh, you know, I'm going to be away from my girlfriend or whatever. I believe I mentioned that I was in the military. So that, to me, is like, that's the small sacrifice. If you're only away for 3 months, at least you know you're coming home. But the option is there to not go. So for once, I applaud somebody for taking that option for other than, oh, I'm going to be away from, you know, my piece of tail for the week. I applaud Buster Posey in this aspect, because I would have done the exact same thing. I wish I could have been there every single day that he was there. Luckily for us, he was healthy. He made it out of there. You know, he's about to be 4 in February, so my hat's off to the Poseys for that.
Great news, great news. Mike, thank you very much for the call. And look, the good news about the good news about the Posey twins, the adopted twins being born prematurely, they are in the neonatal intensive care unit, but they're on the expecting to be fine side of that ward. There are two sides to a neonatal intensive care unit. One has a little bit of hope. The other feels like it's. I saw emotions on people's faces that are forever burned in my mind. I mean, it's heavy. It's as heavy gets. There is no bigger burden than a parent fearing the safety of a newborn. It's staggering. It's devastating. And I don't blame Buster Posey for not being able to just go and take a few at bats and a few hacks at the, you know, down at the old ballpark, trying to loosen it up. And are you going to play? You cannot think of anything else when that is happening in your life. There's no doubt about that. The other thing that happened today, Buster Posey obviously is a huge news locally. Maybe not as big as Posey, of course, but it is going to affect an awful lot of people, lives, and budgets. The Pac-12 has joined the Big Ten and the ACC, canceling all non-conference football. For Cal, just as an example, that means UNLV, TCU, who was ticketed to come to Berkeley, along with Cal Poly. Those are big checks not going out to two schools. Now, one is definitely more set up to absorb not getting that check. TCU does a very good job printing its own money because of the rabid football culture in the state of Texas. UNLV and Cal Poly, they need that check. They really, really, really need that check. That's tough. I want to take a look at Stanford's schedule here, but that's bad news for those three schools. It's bad news for little guys everywhere who are counting on big guy paychecks.
Yeah, Stanford's got William and Mary, which would be a Notre Dame, which can absorb it easily, and BYU that can absorb it fairly easily. So they're, you know, William and Mary's the victim there.
It's got to be 10%, 20% of their entire income that year, you know, whatever that cash out game is. Or I don't know if Stanford pays like that, but.
I mean, that's probably a game that would draw like 40,000, but I don't know what the guarantee is. I can't imagine it would be in the 2 million range. It would probably be lower, but either way, I'm sure it's a significant chunk of their annual budget.
I mean, that's the thing,
the way,
right?
Athletic departments budget in it now.
That's the way the system is set up. Is that these small schools do depend on a paycheck from large schools to fund their entire programs, if not their entire athletic department. And the fact that those are the first things to go, I mean, Dan Wetzel basically said it yesterday, it's akin to a death sentence for smaller schools.
Well, he also said, this is a bit off that topic, but he also said that he wouldn't be surprised if there were no playoffs this year. And Bill Hancock, who's the head of the college football playoff, came out either late yesterday or early this morning and said, oh, there's definitely going to be a playoff this year. If they're going to have nine conference games, there's going to be a playoff.
Definitely is the wrong word. And I'll say what I said in that conversation yesterday, which is the concept that they would try to somehow have a four-team playoff with five power conferences playing exclusively each other makes no sense to me. None.
Expect to see the Big 12 and the SEC follow suit by Monday. I'd be stunned to see both those conferences not make this decision over the weekend or have it ready to go first thing Monday morning. That is how big-time college football works. A lot of copycats, a lot of big boys following each other, making the rules for everyone else. So we know that Steph Curry is up in Lake Tahoe. They're doing the pro-am up there. He was shadow boxing with Canelo Alvarez yesterday. Nice hands, Canelo. Don't you lay a finger on Steph Curry. Curry was asked about what next season might look like for the Golden State Warriors. We got a little sound, and here it is.
We still have a great core. We have an understanding of who we are. And like you said, it was a crazy year. My hand injury, Clay being out all year, Draymond in and out of the lineup with injuries all year, a lot of new young guys. It was definitely different, but this could be a blessing in disguise in terms of, you know, this next 3-4 year run that we want to have. You know, get rested, get healthy, come next season, whenever that starts, we'll be ready. So we've had a long 7 years, so it's nice to get a little refresh.
That was from just moments ago up in Tahoe. I don't know who we credit for the sound there. Thanks. Zoom call. There you go. Nice job, Lucas. They need rest. He needs rest. They got rest. Congratulations. I don't want to hear another word about rest going forward. Everybody at the beginning of next year should be like hitting the ground running like it's the playoffs night one, right? I mean, everyone should be well rested.
Oh, I don't think anybody's going to make a noise about rest. They're going to make a noise about rust.
Well, but that's okay.
No. I'm just saying that I don't think anybody is going to have the temerity to say, well, gee, I'm tired. They're going to say is, man, it's been a long time since we played.
Well, and maybe more accurately, they've never played together. And this team, more than any team we've seen in a while, will be one that has never played together, where key components, other than the top three, have never played together. And that, to me, is going to be one of the very interesting things about next year, is not only can Steph and Clay and Draymond bounce back to some degree, because I expect that, but how does it look when this trio is put into basically what amounts to an entirely different roster?
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. I mean, look at it this way. We're signing up to watch all of it. I mean,
no doubt.
I just want it to happen safely. There's an awful lot of talk that 21, 22 is, I mean, that it feels like the NBA is more comfortable worrying about the health of next year allowed than other sports are. Where other sports, I mean, baseball put out a schedule that gives you the illusion like, oh, yeah, we'll see you next summer, back to normal, don't worry about it. It feels like the NBA is always couching the next season as a season that could very much be all sorts of COVID-19-ish, or at least fingerprints over it. Yeah,
it already is somewhat, right? Just because we've already had to change it based on what's happened so far. And right now they're saying Christmas, but that doesn't seem very realistic in terms of turnaround. So I think there's already a good chance it starts in 2021, that it is, in fact, just the 2021 season, not the 2020-21 season. And, you know, what happens with this restart in Orlando could affect that in multiple ways. On one hand, if it doesn't go well, it could delay that even further. On the other hand, if it goes great, but other sports don't manage well outside of bubbles, what does that mean for next season and potentially considering some version of a bubble plan? I don't know. It could be interesting.
I think it'll be interesting one way or another, just because everybody's dealing with something that nobody's ever dealt with before. And there won't be any orthodoxy of thought about it unless the NBA decides, oh, we know best and you're going to do this. But there are so many vagaries within every team that they're all going to do it different ways. And it'll be the first time, and this is a lousy way to find this out, but it'll be the first time in a long time that everybody's going in with no template. And just to watch them deal with doing stuff for the first time that they've never thought of doing before, I think will be fascinating. It'll be more fascinating than the early season games.
There's one guy who's ready for this template, Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley, the kind of grinder who brings packages of white T-shirts into the bubble, knowing that dudes are going to get desperate for a clean shirt. He says he's going to turn around and start selling them to desperate NBA players at like 10 times the cost. That is some real old school Chicago hustle if there ever was one. Pat Bev is ready to go. By the way, it's funny. Everyone walks into their hotel room on Instagram Live going like, Pat Bev walks into his hotel room. He's like, man, this is great. I'm ready to go. Look at my t-shirts. Look at my view. Look at my game setup. Look at my entertainment. I'm ready to roll, baby. I've seen hard life. This ain't hard life. By the way, come get your t-shirts. $300 a pop.
I love Pat Bev so much. What, it was excellent.
Yeah, it's a great idea right up until the point that the first guy punches him out and takes all the shirts.
Pat's going to win that fight.
Yeah, Pat, I don't think Pat's worried about NBA players in fights. I'll tell you that.
No, but here's the funny thing. If you love The Wire, and you should love The Wire, selling T-shirts, that's Bubbles.
Solid hustle.
Patrick Beverly is Bubbles in the bubble. He's the Bubbles bubble.
Yeah, but Bubs got his ass kicked more than a few times.
He did. Bubs had it rough.
See, but you got to realize Pat Bev is the hustle of a clean Bubbles with the intimidation factor of an Avon Barksdale. You know what I'm saying?
He's more set up to be Bubbles stealing copper pipes than he is Bubbles overdosing in the garage.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he won't have his partner the profoundly aggressive heroin addict there.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Bubs didn't overdose. Bubs does make it to the final episode. It's not a happy ending, but he does make it to the final episode of The Wire.
No, he actually does okay.
Yeah, it's not an unhappy ending. It's a hopeful ending. He's in the basement.
It's one of the few.
Yeah.
Spoilers all over the place.
Really?
You got to watch The Wire. If you haven't already, that's on you. But also, we didn't really ruin anything. It's about the journey.
It is about the journey. Be prepared for a longer journey, a slower journey than you might be used to. Television was different. It was different back then. It really was. It took its time. Didn't try to grab you all at once. And, ooh, let me lock you in so you have to keep on power watching the entire episode or the entire series. You're binge watching it. The binge watching didn't exist when The Wire came out. So they would slowly walk you up to a topic. Spend a little time walking you around it, set you up for the next thing that's going to happen at the end of this episode in the coming weeks. It's brilliant story creation.
This is one of my favorite things about The Wire that drives home that point. I believe it's the second season, but there is an episode of, season two. That is the sixth episode of season two that, is, I think, 10 or 13 episodes entirely. And the title of the episode is All Prologue, as if to suggest that the first five episodes, the first half of the season was just a setup for this. And that's the sort of show that The Wire is.
Oh, breaking news from Adam Schefter. Hit it.
95.7 The Game breaking news. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Conference. Go listen at radio.com/Dell.
I'm going to go ahead and call this one of the better kept secrets around the NFL in a long time. You'd think that the minute an NBA owner, or excuse me, an NFL owner tested positive for COVID-19, we would know about it. Apparently, Arizona Cardinals say that team owner Michael Bidwell is expected to be released from the hospital this weekend. He had been hospitalized battling COVID-19. I had no idea that an NFL owner were actually in a hospital battling the disease. Did you guys hear about that from anywhere? Are you learning?
No.
To me, him leaving the hospital is the first time I'm learning he even went in.
Yeah, funny the way that the HIPAA laws really are obeyed when it's an owner.
Well, except not now, right?
Well, no, except that, Schefter probably didn't get it except from somebody who said it's okay because he's being released.
Maybe.
Schefter deals in leaks, and I'd be surprised if the leak didn't come from the Cardinals.
Yeah, look, I'm sure the Bidwell family has done plenty of things wrong, and NFL owners don't need any help from anybody, but if we're talking about HIPAA, it should apply to owners. And I don't know if the question, I suppose, is should we be more serious about it when it comes to players? But, like, there's at least, I'm not saying it's justified or enough of a reason to justify giving out their medical information, but there are reasons why we want that. And there's no reason why we need the owner's medical information, right?
I believe HIPAA applies to doctors. There's a lot of people around Bill Bidwell who ain't doctors. There's a lot. I mean, this is how leaks happen. I mean, his doctor can't tell you anything about it. The same way lawyer-client confidentiality binds all that to silence. But I mean, how many people did he walk past on the way to the hospital? How many people might have walked past? You know, I mean, it's a kind of thing that is hard to keep under wraps. Congratulations to the Arizona Cardinals for doing it. And look, I hope the guy's fine and fully recovered. He's leaving the hospital, which is a very good sign, you would hope. But man, I am surprised that in a world of no secrets that was kept a secret. HIPAA, whatever.
Well, but that's my point. It was kept very much a secret because owners have a way of doing that they don't always afford to players. That was my point.
Yeah, it's I don't know what one really has to do with the other, but fair enough.
There is a story about a McDonald's in Oakland that you're not going to want to hear about. And lawyers have got to be coming to that. We're going to get into that when we come on back. We are also going to have a little Kolsky's Corner for you to wrap up the week. It has been quite a week of headlines. We will sort of go over everything. Just little thumbnail sketches of all that happened this week. It's been an incredibly interesting week for developing stories and new wrinkles and new steps. And we're going to go over all of it. We're going to circle around, whip it around Kolsky's Corner. And before you know it, it'll be 6 o'clock. So we want you to stay tuned here. We still have plenty more coming up. You want to get in 888-957-9570. I hope that you have submitted your Bay Area all-time top 10, because the betting windows are now officially closed. We will be revealing our all-time Bay Area top 10 athletes next week to a day at 8:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. So Joe Lowe and Dibs will start Monday at 8:30 a.m. telling you who number 10 is on the list. Come 3:30, we'll let you know who number 9 is. And we're going to do two a day, so we will have 2 and 1 being revealed on Friday. So it should be a fun way to debate the week. Even if it is a slow news week, we'll have plenty to argue about all week long. It should be fun. 888-957-9570. When we come on back, again, a recap of quite a week of headlines, a Kolsky's Corner, and a story about a McDonald's in Oakland that just makes you go, my God, what is wrong with people? All of that is around the corner. Stay tuned. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. And let me tell you that we're brought to you by our good friends at Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Our final half hour of the week. We will use it responsibly. We'll get you the top of the hour in one piece, I promise. Stay with us here. It's been quite a week of headlines. Buster Posey opting out today is obviously the headliner of the day. The Pac-12 following, though, canceling all non-conference sports. There you go. Pac-12 playing conference-only schedules. We will see the SEC and the Big 12 reach the same conclusion by Monday, if not on Monday of next week. The Giants and A's have had to cancel workouts with testing. They have since resumed workouts, and the testing is apparently getting a little bit better. All the NBA teams are down in the bubble in Orlando. Again, we're excited about Patrick Beverley's outfitting opportunities with those T-shirts. I do know this, that J.R. Smith being back in the league is already a gift that is being delivered. Him reading and going over the menu available to NBA players, it's not safe for work. We can't play it on the show and keep our FCC license, but it's worth a watch. It's good to have J.R. back, all things considered. Yes, did you bleep this, Lucas? Do you have it?
We don't have it. I was just going to tell you guys that the NBA has reached out to J.R. and told him to stop streaming, stop live videoing, all that stuff. They said that he's showing too much.
Doesn't anybody want the pipe? I don't understand, man. That's terrible. That's terrible, man. J.R.
Smith really is the gift that keeps on giving.
He is. Oh, and I do want to, if we are going to have this season, if the folly will be underway and we're going to go ahead and bother crowning a champ, Clippers. Write it down. Clippers are going to be NBA champions.
Boy, you know, I was on the Lakers.
I feel real good about that. Anybody want to put a little money down?
Paul George fully healthy as of today, by the way.
Paul George is here to screw you up. Paul George, Kawhi, and Pat Bev together are like 30 and 5 or 20, whatever it is. They're good when they're together.
And I don't know if you saw, but Bam Adebayo hasn't shown up yet.
Ooh, I had not seen that.
That's a couple of days now that he hasn't been there, which leads people to conclusions.
Unclear about that. It won't affect the championship, but I was on the Lakers before the season, back when things were, you know, in a different world. And I actually, it was close enough that I think the loss of Avery Bradley and the health of Paul George that I might be with you now. Like, not to mention the whole idea of no home games for the Lakers in a series against the Clippers. Like, that, all that might be enough to shift the power just enough that I think I'm at the point where I agree with you that the Clippers are the ones.
I mean,
you don't think that J.R. Smith is a glue guy? That's what you're saying.
No.
When do you go wrong betting on the Clippers to win it all? I mean, it's always a good bet if you can make it. but yeah, I really think that they've got the makeup, the talent, and the mindset to do very, very well in an antiseptic bubble, if that's what indeed the environment is.
True.
Speaking of antiseptic,
and to your point,
you guys,
quickly, before we move on, like, it also would be the most Clippers thing in the history of the world that the year they finally get to a title is this weird, upside down, absurdist year.
The only thing that would be as, like, chef's kiss that's disappointingly perfect would be the A's winning the World Series in a year that everyone devalued, God, with a parade that can't be had.
So true.
That would be about as rooted in Oakland as this McDonald's story is. We'll get to that in just a second here. But it's been a hell of a week. Raheem Mostert asking for a trade. Stanford cutting 11 varsity sports. That's a big deal. The Ivy League postponed everything until January 1st. Texas high school football might be called off, and if that is, all high school football is going to be called off. It's really been kind of a fascinating week out there. There is one story that is so good that, Ray, you shared this with us, with me. I don't know who else really got this or even noticed. It's something that you sent like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And I prepped a little segment, and so many things have happened that I never even got to it. But you made me aware of a situation that is developing at UMass, which is too good to not talk about just for a second here. UMass Hoops put out a press release saying that they're working on their 2023 class. Now, let's be completely honest. There's a lot that could happen between now and the 2023 recruiting season. UMass isn't exactly one of those places that has ironclad commitments all around you. Like, once you're ticketed to UMass, you don't even look for other exits. It's not quite that. UMass in 2023 could have 5 Mitchells on the floor all at the same time. Everybody on the floor could be a Mitchell.
What?
Trey Mitchell, Colton Mitchell, Makai Mitchell, McKeel Mitchell, and Keyshawn Mitchell. Not related. What? Maybe one or two of them is?
No, zero.
None of them are? No related Mitchells, 5 Mitchells. That's a lot of Mitchells.
Nash just asked me if they were all good but end-of-the-bench guys, and I want to drive into the office and hit him.
Mitchell Trubisky was not on the list. Who's no good. That's a sign of the apocalypse, though. 5 Mitchells on the court at once.
That's some outstanding recruiting. If you can squeeze your circle down to, we're just going with the same surname this year. We think it'll make a difference in the all-important Patriot League.
Well, Ray,
you want to know how good of a recruiting job it is. You got to see if there's any Mitchells on the coaching staff.
All right, I'm on it.
I'll say this, there's been no mention of UMass hoops since Marcus Camby was done protecting rims in 96, you know, so kudos to the SID who said, I got a press release. I'm going to release it because this is good.
Ray, what's the likelihood we actually see all five on the floor? Do you know if any of these guys are fifth-year seniors have a chance to play or maybe end of the bench guys? I want to see all five of them on the floor. Am I going to actually see that?
How the hell would I know?
You follow all these schools, Ray. You follow all of them.
It's July.
Fair enough.
Do you hear me?
It's also 2020. If this is 2023 we're talking about.
Yeah, there might be two coaches away.
Ray Ratto, our UMass insider here on 95.7 The Game.
Tremendous.
We will wrap up with concerns about this McDonald's Oakland. We'll tell you where to not go eat this weekend. How about that? But we'll do it all after we hop in the car and whip it around Kolsky's Corner.
Matt Kolsky takes us back to a simpler time.
Hey, Stella!
To appreciate the pop culture that's aged like a fine wine.
Well, isn't this a fine song and dance?
What are you getting so hot about?
Keep your shirt on.
Where do you get off making remarks like that?
Supposing I say you're a lunkhead.
Well, I ain't much for supposing.
It's time for Kolsky's Corner on 95.7 The Game.
So this week on Kolsky's Corner, I was talking to the producers last night about potential themes, and Lucas suggested an island theme, because Fight Island is happening this weekend, and although we have not talked about it at all, it is a thing in the sports world, and we are scraping the bottom of the barrel for themes already, which is not necessarily the best sign. So, I decided if we're going to go island theme, I'm not going to make it the easy, straightforward island theme and just play some reggae for you and watch like Mystery Island or some other dumb island thing. I decided to be a little creative with this, so tell me if you can track me on my island music. Go ahead, Nash.
You're all alone, shh, shh, and so peaceful until you fall. You wanna love, you wanna cry, you cross your heart and hope to die till it's over. And then.
All right. Does anyone know the island we're talking about?
It's the island that Bjork should have stayed on, and all of her music should have been sequestered around. Bjork sucks, dude. That's the worst thing that you've done on our show since you've joined. Bjork?
This is a bad take by you. Bjork is wonderful. And yes, it is the pride of the island nation of Iceland. Bjork. Ray, your thoughts on Bjork?
Is she still relevant?
Well, that's not really the thing that we're doing here.
Well, no, but I'm just... You asked my thoughts on Bjork.
That's it? That's all you have? I mean, she put out a very well-received album, I think, 2 years ago.
Well, it evaded me.
All right, fair enough.
Bjork.
Poor reception for Bjork on the show.
Wow.
But the album, for what it's worth, was 1995, I believe, Post, which features that song as well as the song Army of Me, which is probably her biggest single. And it is weird, man. I'm not going to try to sell it to someone who's not into it. She's out there. But in a lot of ways, I think she's really kind of a genius, and she's one of the most creative artists in the music world of my lifetime, certainly.
So I remember that video, and that video's got, like, dancing mailboxes, and it's like she's all depressed, and then everything around her becomes Sesame Street. Everything about Bjork screams, I'm trying too hard to distract you from this song that you can't dance to at all. There's no rhythm.
That song is not her song. It's a cover. And I think actually a lot of her music is very danceable. But she's certainly not for everybody. She is one weird lady.
She's the Bohemian Rhapsody of female recording artists. Yeah, we've heard of her. Everyone knows about it. But come on, that song sucks.
I would have drank some whiskey to it. I felt like it was in a nice little lounge drinking some scotch or something.
And
Hold on, are we going to breeze right past Damon saying Bohemian Rhapsody sucks?
Sucks.
Incorrect, sir.
Sucks.
No, that's a bad take. I'm sorry. I will not let that stand without saying something about it. Bohemian Rhapsody, while bizarre, is a tremendous achievement in rock music.
No more tremendous achievement than the movie. Who are the guys? Mike Myers, Dana Carvey.
Wayne's World?
Wayne's World. If it weren't for Wayne's World, that song would have died, never been unearthed. It was used ironically in the movie Wayne's World, and America didn't get the joke that this song sucks. It should not be celebrated.
That's not true. That's not true about the popularity of the song, just factually. And
completely undanceable. Undanceable. There's no rhythm. There's no beat. Skedamush, skedamush. We'll do the fandango. Get the hell out of here, man.
Bjork. It's an operatic, like, it's a rock opera. It's not for you to, like, grind to. Go ahead, Lucas.
It's a rock opera? I do have
a rock opera's a thing. I don't have to shorten it. I don't need a portmanteau for this.
No one said you had to do any of this. To bring Bjork back to the whole island theme, apparently Iceland, for her cultural contributions, has awarded her an island. They call it Bjork Island.
Yeah, man. Island theme.
How long would Bjork, what would last longer, Bjork on Fight Island or me on Bjork Island?
Oof.
Yaz Island is pretty sweet in Abu Dhabi. They have a Ferrari world, a Sea World. There's a lot going on there.
I mean, when I heard Fight Island, I was not expecting it to be in that part of the world, for whatever it's worth. I don't know what that means. All right, so let's move on.
Off Key West somewhere.
I am pretty sure that not only are you going to be more excited about the film that I've chosen for my island theme, since it is an island close to all of our hearts and homes, but also I think you're going to enjoy this short segment from which I think you may even be able to tell us what movie this is. Hit it.
You sure you're ready for this?
I'll do my best.
Your best? Losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and f*** the prom queen.
Carla was the prom queen.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know the film?
Untouchables.
Untouchables.
No! Correct actor, wrong film. Ray, can you help us out with the island theme? That would be a Chicago theme.
No, I can't. I already got the film wrong. What did you expect from me?
Wait, what do you mean? You didn't say the film.
Untouchables at the same time that Damon did.
Oh, yeah, I didn't hear you.
Me and I both muttered it incorrectly together.
Okay, so you both recognized the voice.
I'm flipping my mental Rolodex. Can I hear it one more time? Can you play it one more time for me?
You sure you're ready for this?
I'll do my best.
Your best? Losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and f*** the prom queen.
Carla was the prom queen.
Really?
It's The Rock.
Yeah.
There it is.
It's The Rock.
Of course it's The Rock. San Francisco's own island, Alcatraz, is really the star, but Sean Connery makes a heck of a supporting actor in The Rock, which is just like a classic action film from the era of classic over-the-top action films. It is truly delightful. Breaking into Alcatraz, the whole thing, ridiculous and wonderful.
One of my favorite shots in that is when they're following the missile getting tracked over the hill coming into Candlestick.
Yes.
That's such a cool shot. That's such a cool shot. By the way, we have breaking news.
95.7 The Game Breaking News. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Conference. Go listen at radio.com/Dell.
According to John Rothstein, Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott has tested positive for coronavirus. Wow. Okay. An NFL owner and a commissioner of a major conference, both. We got Bill Bedwill leaving a hospital in Arizona, and Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott testing positive for coronavirus.
Hold on, let me just say,
we have criticized Larry and his decisions and what he's done for his conference several times. I have not been a friend on air of Larry Scott's decisions or the way he's gone about hiding his conference in plain sight for nobody to see. However, I wish him the very, very best of luck, and hopefully he recovers speedily.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.